Hello and welcome to Popcast.
Hey, and welcome everybody to the latest episode of our podcast. This is episode 4, and that was Esme, which is Dylan's kid, opening the podcast today. I'm not going to lie, Dylan, to be fair, she actually got in what she wanted to say in less than 10 seconds, which is something you can't do. So, well done, Esme. She can follow instructions. Well done. That's good. So, welcome, everybody. Just a reminder to everyone to check out the site. We've got some new memes on there. For those dads that don't know what a meme is, it's like a funny picture with some words on it. That's like a good joke, but we're cool. We kind of know what they are. We've got some other links on there to a couple of different things. So don't forget to check out our website, www.thepodcast.co.uk. Today on the podcast, we have myself, we have Darren, Dylan and Mike. So, hey, guys. Just a reminder that our podcasts are now available on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, Google Podcasts, etc. We've had quite a lot of listeners over the last few weeks, which is really good. We keep getting your feedback. So thank you, everyone, who has given us this feedback and is helping us along the way. Just a quick shout out to my cousin, Elar Cram, and his hip hop podcasts. I'm not cool enough to listen to them myself, but I've listened to a few and they are really cool. So give them a listen if you can. And also, I'm sure a lot of people out there are probably following him already, but Man Behaving Dadly, a really, really cool guy, posts a lot of stuff about his family and being a dad. And he's just hilarious as well. So go and give those guys a check. And also, just before we start, a reminder that we are not trained professionals. We are just dads having a chat. Okay, so last week we asked our listeners to name the new feature where I give each of the dads on here a question and I've got 10 seconds to answer the best they can. We chose to go with the title Pops on Trial, despite actually scoring me because of my Scouse roots. It does bring back some flashbacks. I think that is the best one. So we're going to go with Pops on Trial. On that note, the question this week for you guys, a little drum roll. Ooh. Is what is the most embarrassing thing your child has ever said? So we've obviously one of the previous weeks we've already done what's the most embarrassing thing your child's done, I think something like that. This one is the most embarrassing thing your child has said. So I'm not going to ask which one of you boys go first. I'm going to throw you in the deep end. Daz, I don't think you've gone first, so got 10 seconds starting now.
Okay, so in the mornings when I get ready for work, before I have a shower, I walk around naked. And one day, Imi just said to me, told me to put my penis away. It was kind of embarrassing, but funny.
Got the end of that in there, by the way, because it was literally just coming up to 10 seconds and I'm thinking, where is this going? Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Did you do a little mangina impression, Daz?
I didn't, no. No, I think Imi might not be ready for that quite yet.
Tuck your tail between your legs and cluck. Brilliant. Right, next up, we've got Mike. Go.
Probably in the middle of a restaurant, my little girl just shouts at the top of her voice, Daddy, I need a poo!
Brilliant. Well within the buzzer there. Class, that is embarrassing. I bet everyone just looked over and was just like shaking their head. What kind of restaurant was it? Was it like a McDonald's or was it like an actual posh restaurant?
Posh restaurants, full up. Everyone just turned around. I just laughed. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh my God, that is pretty bad. Right, who's up next? Dylan, your time starts now.
Right, similar to Mike's, walking in B&Q, daughter ran to a display toilet, lifts the lid and shouts, I need a poo!
I just wanted to say, can we say congratulations to Dylan for actually getting this story within 10 seconds this week?
Hey.
Bravo. Well done, Dills. Well done. Esme taught you well. Oh my God, B&Q. Geez, did you have to like stop and go to another toilet, toilet?
I did, because she was quite young. She didn't know, obviously, they're just display toilets and everyone can see her.
Yeah.
So she's like there getting ready. I thought, oh my God, if she does a dump in this, how are we going to explain?
Well, she actually had her pants down, did she?
almost. I stopped her.
Oh my god! You should have left her, mate. You should have just left her.
Yeah, just said she didn't had no idea who she was. It wasn't yours. Walked off.
Just walk away, going, "Oh, that stinks. Whose kid's that?" Brilliant. Right, okay. Next up is me, because I can't count. Apparently, there's only four of us on the show. Right. Okay. So I'm going to start now. So we had a guy come in to do some measurements for some carpentry work, and my daughter turns around and says, "Daddy, who's that fat man that's just walked into our house?" Oh, it was the most embarrassing thing. I literally had to tell her. I was like, "You can't say that word." I'm trying to teach her not to say fat. Like, I'm saying, just maybe say, "Who's that big man?" or something like that. He just looked at me and just kind of laughed it off. I was like, "Oh my god, really?" Like, I think he added another 500 quid on just for that.
Yeah.
On the item, my bill, calling me fat plus 500. great. Thanks, boys. So the topic for today, gents, we've had again a couple of questions come in, so thank you for everyone out there that keeps sending these questions in. We've had some such wicked ideas. This question that was sent in today was, what do you pops think about kids using modern technology? When they say that, I'm assuming they mean children, not goats. Like, just imagine a goat up a tree with an iPad looking at, like, a goat hub or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they haven't even got fingers, so I don't know how that would work. Using a phone, not just what you do on goat hub. I've gone way off. Right, so what do you pops think about kids using modern technology? So I think this is quite a broad question, to be honest, actually. I'm not sure what the best angle is on this one, but I guess there is a big split, isn't there, across men and women everywhere and their kids using technology. You guys know, I work in one of the biggest technology companies in the world, without bragging. And we get it all the time, right? Whenever we say to anyone, or I have conversations, people ask me, "What do you do?" It's straight away, you know, we build robots, and they're like, you know, robots are taking over the world, and, you know, your kids are in trouble, the next generation's going to have no jobs, and all this sort of stuff. And that's kind of one way to look at it. And another way to look at it is, you know, talking about how much technology your kids use and learn. So, you know, kids have got phones, kids have got tablets, and there's all sorts of rules and regulations and guidelines set out for when a kid should have a tablet and a phone and what time they should finish watching it and stuff. So, you know, there's that angle as well. And it's, you know, there's dangerous stuff out there. There's really good stuff out there. There's educational stuff out there. So I guess this one's quite broad today, Pops. I guess we've got quite a few things to cover. I don't know who wants to go first. Maybe Darren, do you want to maybe jump in with what you think about kids and technology?
Yeah, happy to. This kind of thing has a lot of pros and a lot of cons, and I think everything in moderation can be fine. I've actually done a little bit of research. I don't know whether you guys are interested to hear my findings. Children under the age of 8 use technology for an average of 2 hours and 19 minutes each day, which is a consistent figure over the past decade. Kids between the ages of 5 and 8 spend almost 3 hours each day with screen-based technologies. And 98% of children live in a home which owns at least one mobile device.
That's quite scary numbers, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, because this is the thing. You probably don't ever think about how much time your kid is in front of a screen you don't think it's probably as much as it is. And I think, of course, it depends on what it is. It depends on if it's like a TV show or if it's a game, you know, if it's like an interactive game or if it's educational, if it's not. And I also think it depends on if you're actively spending that time, if you're using a screen as a babysitter, as opposed to something that you can do with your kid. For example, so I work in animation, and before Imi was born, my dream was always to watch the shows that I've made with my kid. And we actually didn't really give her much TV for the first year. We really tried hard to not let her watch hardly any TV, and we did really well. We did start allowing her to watch TV, and I started watching some of the shows that I've worked on with her. And one of the shows I worked on has a song in it, like quite a usually quite a long song in each episode, and because I had worked on it, I knew the song and the lyrics inside out. And so I used to sit with her and we would watch it, and I would sing the songs like kind of to her with her, which was really cute. And I let's be honest, like I could have put any old shit in front of her and she would have watched it. But yeah, so I try not to, when we do watch TV, I sit with her sometimes she'll sit in my lap and we'll kind of watch it together. I try not to kind of just let her watch the TV and me sit on my phone, because I do feel a bit like, you know, I'm using it just to keep her busy whilst I do my thing. I do try and keep mostly to educational stuff. And like I've recently been kind of showing her games on my phone, educational games, and there's some ones that she really likes. But these sort of things can be, like I said, good and bad. For example, you've got kids can have access to more information with this kind of thing. We're living in an age where technology is the future, and I think it is important that kids do grow up with these things, and it will help them when they reach a school age. And it's insane to see how quickly they learn how a touchscreen works, you know, the sort of thing that when we were kids we just didn't have.
Definitely, I fully agree, because I think the key word there is moderation. I think with moderation, technology can only be a positive, I think, because as you said, all parts of life now is technology. Your teachers contact you via apps on your phone. When you go to the hospital, that sort of thing, everything is on your phone. And being able to teach your kids about it and how to use it is an absolute positive. My children, they know how to use, they watch, they play stuff like CBeebies on my phone, and they know how to use the iPad. And it's just about limiting the amount of time on it, really. Like my kids, they rarely use it during the week, but they might spend a bit of time on it during the weekends. But I think there's loads of things that they can learn, even playing standard games. Like my boy's got a Nintendo Switch that, as I said, only plays at the weekend, but stuff like hand-eye coordination, that would only improve by playing games like that.
Yeah. True. Where we have like dominoes and Connect 4, do you know what I mean? And that's all we had, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think I'm probably on the side of it's all fine in moderation as well, actually. We've actually got them each an Amazon Fire tablet, and on that you actually have settings where you can limit how much they use it, or you can set certain goals, like if they read for 20 minutes, then they can play on the games.
That is brilliant.
So not just reading, if you want them to do a mathematical app, let them do that for a bit and then they can start playing. I mean, there's thousands of apps, and you can tailor it to their age group as well. And there's, because it's specifically for kids, they can't get on like the proper internet, so it's completely protected. And like you said, Mike, it's just something they kind of use over in the weekend, and it has helped them when they've gone to school or preschool, because they do use tablets in there as well.
Definitely, there's loads of skills that they can learn, stuff like problem solving. There's games that improve skills like that, perseverance as well. That even if they get something wrong, then that the game, well, most of the games will encourage them to get it right, won't it?
Yeah, there's a doctor game as well. They're vets and they're doing like injections, bandages. I think like even the game developers, they're sort of realizing we need to make it a bit more educational, more interesting, rather than just, you know, coloring in.
Yeah, I think one thing to be careful about, I guess, is so I know a lot of people talk about when they talk about the bad side of it, they're talking about how it might limit their, I guess, social skills and, you know, talking to people. And I think you see people in a restaurant or at a party or wherever, just the kids just sat there with an iPhone or an iPad or whatever. And back in our day, we would have had to sit there and just take in the ambiance, right, and just be sit there and just kind of look around and understand and people watch, you know, and just sort of see what was going on around you and pick up different things that way.
You're definitely right, but then you think, you walk into a cafe and there's full-grown adults doing exactly that.
Yeah, so, that's true. It's true. And I think, I guess one of the biggest fears for people out there is you've all touched on it, to be fair, but it's about the security side, right? So, you know, there's this whole thing about people are quite scared about things that they don't understand, not just technology, I think just in every walk of life. And I think if the generation prior to us didn't really understand technology that much, and they can sort of see it as this big, wide, dark world, you know, where they can take all your credit card details and, you know, they'll find out where you live and, you know, they're spying on you and they're listening, you know, all this fear. And without getting too deep about it, the older generation, you know, that's what happened in things like the war and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like there'd be spies, there'd be people putting recorders on communications and stuff like that. And it's scary, you know, it's quite scary. There's that whole thing in the war about, you know, just be careful about who you talk to. I remember seeing, like, my grandpa before he passed away, he had sort of posters and pictures and things of it, and you know, when you look back in history books and they had it, you know, just with the finger to the lip saying, you know, be careful of who you're speaking to in case someone's listening. I think that whole fear of, you know, not being in control and being careful about what you say and what you do, because it might go anywhere. And I think with technology, people worry about that. They think, where's my information going? Who's using my information? Especially with things like Facebook, you know, they'll openly say we use ads based on your activity and all that sort of stuff, which I love, right? It's great for me because I'm like, I don't want to see ads on, you know, things I'm not interested in. I want to see ads on things that I want and that I look at online, you know, and my shopping activity and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think a lot of parents out there are quite scared about where their information goes. And, you know, we had that whole Momo thing. Was it Momo?
Oh,
I don't know
yes.
if you remember that. That freaky eyes that literally gave me nightmares. Like, do you know what I mean? It's bloody scary. That's one thing that I guess people out there, I think maybe if we, which is a chicken and egg situation, really, because if our kids understand more about technology and we do, then they'll also understand the security aspect of it, and they'll understand what it is to understand what needs to happen, you know, for someone to take your details, for example. But I think a lot of parents out there are quite scared of getting caught out, you know, with their kids on the right phones.
There is definitely risk out there. I think social media, we've only just kind of touched on it, really. I think that's moving way faster, and then they're not really thinking about the security side. So it's kind of, they just want to get everyone connected rather than let's keep their information secure or, you know, things like that. So obviously they've had like data leaks and, you know, I know they've been hacked and stuff, or they've shared too much information. So I think it's kind of on them as well to kind of, you know, up the security game, really.
I think there are people out there that are trying to catch you out. There's no pussyfooting about it. There are people there, and it's just about trying to be vigilant. You can't stop everything. You definitely can't, but you just need, there's a lot of guidance out there. Following that and protecting your children, protecting yourself.
Yeah, schools are starting to introduce it at an early age as well. I noticed in one of my daughter's books that they're talking about PC safety and what to look out for. So I think schools are kind of getting involved as well. But obviously it's up to the parents as well, because the kids are spending most of the time at home. And ultimately we're responsible for what they use and what devices they're on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and making sure the settings, right? Because on iPhones and Samsungs, I'm assuming, and all other brands, they've got settings on there like child settings. And even things like, you know, Netflix. Like, you know, my daughter's got her own little channel on Netflix.
So
you can select it so she can have her favorite shows. And YouTube as well, you know. I don't know how she does this, right? Pippa has this habit. She'll start off on a video that could be about anything, right? It could be about, like, I don't know, fucking mushy peas or something, right? And within like 15 clicks of different videos, she's found the video that she was watching like 3 weeks ago that she was after. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't even know how you managed to find that, because she can't type or spell. She's three. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, like I say, it's important about making sure you've got the settings on there, right?
Yeah.
And you're watching them as well. You know, I know you touched on it earlier, Daz. It's like, if you're sat with your kid, just every now and then, just have a look over, or if they're watching YouTube or the TV, just when the sound goes a bit quiet or changes, just make sure you're looking over, because there's a lot of pop-ups and stuff that can come up.
Going back to what you said about Pippa doing that and being able to get there so quickly, don't you think that's like really, really good? You think how people struggle with technology these days, like you said about the older generation.
Yeah, her nan is so impressed, like literally. And like Pippa teaches Beth's mum how to use the iPad. I'm not even kidding.
That's incredible. And like this day and age, like in the future now, technology jobs, they're going to be in high demand, aren't they? So I just think if we're all tech savvy, that's just going to be really, really good.
Well, the our school actually encouraged, well, they were saying, get your child a mouse, a computer mouse, because we're going to teach them how to use that. And eventually they're going to start looking at computer programming. So that seems to be something they want to teach more and more in schools as well. So, yeah, like you said, Mike, it's more of a demand nowadays, isn't it?
I think back in our days, do you know what I mean? Like we had Windows 95 or something like that when I was in school, and it couldn't do anything, could it? Do you know what I mean? No. There was no tablets, there were no phone, no real phones. Anyway, SIM card was like bigger than my head. It was like ridiculous.
You think about school subjects in the day. I know you guys are a little bit older than me, but similar subjects like what? Food technology, textiles, that sort of thing. Like obviously people do, they have those jobs these days, but you think technology is central to pretty much every job these days, and being able to do something like computer program is only going to be a benefit for them.
My brother's a computer programmer, and he says to me, if you ever wanted a job, you could get a job programming so easy, because there are so many jobs out there that are available and not being filled, because there isn't enough people learning like the different languages.
It seemed as it's quite male dominated profession as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. One of the things in our company that we're really, really trying to get like a gender split. As a company, I won't say a name, but we're trying to get to like 50-50 in the next, you know, X amount of years. And I think, you know, for me, I've had developers and people work for me who are female, and they are great, if not better than a lot of the males. But the, you know, it's something I'm really keen. I'm really passionate to make sure Pippa grows up understanding technology for that reason, Mike. You know, I want her to be, especially if it's still at that point, which I hope it isn't, but if at that point it's still quite male dominated, you know, I'd love to see more girls and Pippa, you know, I'd love to see her get involved in advanced technologies and, you know, programming and that sort of stuff to really be ahead of the game. You know, if you imagine 15 years ago, you know, someone would have laughed at you if you'd said that. You know, if you said, I want my girl to work in IT, they'd be like, you know, because it just wasn't as advanced as it is now. But you're right, there's demand everywhere for it. And that can only be a good thing. So
I was going to say, going back to what Darren said about watching or keeping an eye on what they watch, my kids are at an age now where, we've got Netflix as well. And sometimes what they choose can be a bit rubbish, but they just simply like it. And you've got no kind of excuse for them not to watch it, like stuff like Shopkins, where they just...
Can I just check? You're not talking about my shows, are you?
No, definitely not. No, yours are brilliant, mate.
All right, you can stay.
but like Shopkins, where it's just kind of, like really glitzy and pink and, you know what I mean, right? Like sort of Barbie dolly, and you're just like, oh, God. They're not really learning anything from this, but they like it, so you can't really do much.
No, it's the balance, isn't it? It's the balance of education and what they're interested in, isn't it?
Yeah, like trash in it sometimes. Trash TV.
Love that logo, just trash in it. and just quickly, before we kind of like wrap it up, like, do you guys have do you agree with having a set time where your kids should stop watching tablets and phones? Like, I know they say, don't they, sort of maybe an hour, they shouldn't read it. I think it's an hour before they go to bed. Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah, it's because it's supposed to be the blue light is kind of waking up your brain more, rather than you're not winding down. So if you're looking at a screen, I mean, I know my phone's got a blue light filter. I don't even know how much that works. But yeah, definitely like an hour. I'm sure the guidelines say like an hour before bed, you shouldn't be looking at a screen because it's not helping you wind down. So we stick with that. We stick with that definitely.
Yeah, I would say, as I said, they might play a few times at the weekend, but rarely do they play in the evening, and they definitely don't do it after school. So it's usually in the day. So I would agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess it's all about moderation, guys. Is what we're saying. Yeah. It's good. Good points, bad points. But overall, it's all in moderation. Yeah. There is no right or wrong.
Yeah, I must say, like I personally had some great times playing on my Commodore 64 when I was little. Then I had a second-hand Master System after that.
Yeah. Alex the Kid, that was my favourite.
Alex the Kid, yeah. Yeah, Steve, I can imagine you spending hours in your room bashing at your joystick.
Days at a time, mate. Days at a time. Yeah.
Parents didn't see you for days.
Yeah, the window was always open. Oh, my room stank.
But it's funny you guys mentioned that. I was chatting to a colleague today about how much when we were kids, certainly like my parents would let me play games, pretty much watch TV for as long as I wanted. I would play computer games for hours every evening. And it's interesting because I think that they were that generation. Like, we were the first generation of kids to have like consoles. So like my parents had no idea, you know, what sort of an effect it could have on me. And I mean, you guys might argue with this, but like, I feel like I turned out relatively okay.
I think that's just a pitch for negative side of technology, to be honest, if anything.
Just throw my face to any child and they'll just put down the technology for life.
But I think on that point as well, and going back to Mike's earlier, one of my first games, I had like a kind of a secondhand PC that my late grandma bought me for educational purposes, actually. I think I must have been about 14 or something, and she actually could sense that this was where kind of technology was going, and you know, you can imagine it was massive, right? My PC base unit I'm talking about. And it was like I got this game called EJ, and my mates, I don't know if any of them are going to listen to this or not, but we used to literally, it taught me how to make a song using like bars and stuff, and I used to connect it together. And we then got like this little microphone that you had, and obviously back then it would have taken ages to load, and you know, it was saved on floppy disks and all that stuff. It was amazing. But things like that was great because I felt like I could be creative, you know, as a kid. You know, everyone else was outside playing football and stuff. And, you know, I did that a lot, but I also did enjoy coming back and doing something creative. That's what technology allows you to do, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier.
Sometimes you need that me time. Like if it's, you know, especially if you're kind of like an introverted character, you don't always want to be around people. You want to do your own thing, and when you're on your own, that's where you might be more creative, you know?
Dad joke of the week, of the week, of the week. Dad joke of the week, of the week, of the week.
Okay, so as you can hear, it's now time for the dad joke of the week. So today, boys, we've got: how many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? 10 tickles.
Oh, God.
Delete it. I've just been blocked. Okay, so thank you, everybody, who's still here and still listening. We appreciate your support. And thank you to the dads and the mums out there who've joined the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it this week. We've got plenty up and coming. We've got an awful lot of topics that we can cover over the next few weeks. And we've got some really cool stuff being uploaded to the website as well. So keep sending in your suggestions, your feedback, your questions. And one last thing, don't forget, it's Father's Day coming up this weekend. So if any of you pops out there are celebrating this glorious day, make sure you make the most of it. And any mums out there that are listening, you know, it's their one day of the year. They get to sit down, put their feet up and do nothing. Okay, that's a massive lie. And my wife was going to tell me to shut up.
Every Friday, isn't it?
Any day that ends with a Y, mate. if you're celebrating Father's Day, I hope you all have a few too many beers. Enjoy yourselves. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Cheers. Bye.